Welcome to JMAR Solutions Podcast. This is your host, Jennifer Martinez. Trust me, you're not going to get perfect here. You're going to get a lot of fails, but we're going to have a lot of fun, and we're going to talk about faith, family, nutrition, wellness. This podcast is sponsored by Jennifer Martinez, the president of JMAR Wellness Solutions, where we have the simple solutions organizations, the labor force, construction, first responders need in order to achieve wellness and create a safe working environment. All right. Well, welcome to another episode of the JMAR Solutions Podcast. This is Jennifer Martinez, your host, and I am super, super excited to share with you my guest, Alvin Hope Johnson. I had to say that because we're going to talk a lot about Hope today, you guys. He is an incredible dude. He gets to speak into my life. He's a huge encourager of mine. I know he's there for me anytime I ever need him, and I'm blessed to call him friend. His statement is, another moment in the life of a dreamer. Dream on, dreamer. And I didn't do it any justice, and so I'm going to go ahead and just let him start talking because I don't want to mess anything up. But real quick, he is the multifamily developer and a CEO of, what, over 50 employees?
Yes, we've got 52 employees, 45 subcontractors. So, yeah, it's a great team we've got here.
He's extremely humble. He has an incredible business that he's built, and he was homeless. And we're going to talk about that, how you went from homeless to multi-millions in. Let's do it. Let's just get into it. Let's get into the grit of it.
Sounds good. Good morning.
Yes. Well, I mean, is it morning still though?
Depends on when they're watching. Morning, afternoon, evening.
Okay. So, I just love the, I love your spirit. I love the joy that you bring to everything. And I don't want it to be like too, you know, sad or anything, but I do know that I have a little history with you. So I know that you came from homelessness and having to hide your truck because you didn't want it to get repoed. So how does someone go from that to where you're at? Like, tell us how that, like, can you just start with when you were homeless and in that situation, where was your mind? How did you get out of that?
Well, first let me say thank you for having me on your podcast. I really appreciate the platform. I love the work you're doing. Your solutions oriented business that you have for the marketplace is a God's gift to people. And you doing these podcasts is just one way to get the word out about you and your products. So I'm super excited to be a part of that. And thank you.
Yeah.
So, Jennifer, I think the way I wound up there was through a series of probably not great decisions, right? We were talking about that just a little bit ago. And I think part of getting out of that is we have to own those decisions that we've made. Good, better, and different. But, you know, obviously, if I was homeless and having to hide my truck, the decisions weren't good ones. But I had to finally own them and own up to why I made them in my head, even though they were probably not the best. And then to see what I could learn from that opportunity. My mind was in a state of not where I was, but in a state of where I knew I wanted to be, in a state of where I knew I could be. And I just needed to figure out how to get past that part of the process. That part of the process, you know, we hear so many times, your test is your testimony. So part of building my testimony was a test for homelessness. Mm-hmm. And so I just chose to see. Today, I can choose to say I saw the best in that situation, even though when you're going through it, it's really, really difficult to say that, hey, man, guess what? I don't have to worry about this, or I'm homeless, or I got to worry about my truck. Can't go anywhere because they might come repo it. But I think, you know, it just made me stronger. And here I am today. And I will probably never intentionally make any decisions that I know put me on that path before.
You feel like it gives you an empathy though in the business that you're in, since you are into helping, like it's multifamily. What is it? Explain to me a little bit and our listeners what it is that you do, because I feel like what you've been through made you able to do what you do because you have an empathy towards people who don't have a place to live.
Well, okay. I'll back up. I'm Alvin Hope Johnson, and this is another moment in the life of a dreamer. Yeah. So what we do, I'm the president of Hope Housing Foundation. I'm the president of Hope Capital Group. I'm the president of Alvin Hope Johnson Educational Platform. And then we've got some other construction companies and stuff that help support that. Our core business is providing housing to the workforce, housing communities, and the economically challenged families of America. So in that role as operating a 501c3, part of our mission is to provide multifamily housing to individuals that make less than a certain percentage of the area median income. So for instance, in Dallas, the area median income in the neighborhood that we have one of our complexes is about $25,000. And so the families need to make no more than 60% of that to qualify to live there. So that means we're dealing with families that have an income of $18,000 to $20,000 a year.
Okay.
Very difficult market for the tenant, right? So our core business is going in some of these neighborhoods and buying multifamily units where people used to have to live, and we've deployed millions of dollars into these things and make them nice where now they get to live there.
That's awesome.
So it's a different approach to ownership in those kind of markets, where instead of having a tenant that only lives there because they can afford to and it's the cheapest place in town, now it may not be the cheapest place in town because we have to make money and we have to pay our investors and things back. So we do raise the rents and we do that, but we provide the housing to them at a rate that would be less than if they went across the freeway to another similar complex where they could be paying $1,500 a month, but with us, they pay $1,100 a month. Mm-hmm. And that's a big difference for a working family or someone that has subsidized housing.
Yeah.
That's so that's awesome. Part of our business.
You know, and I think when, so I'm sorry.
No.
I was just listening to you talk about that and, you know, raising the rent a little bit, I think is not even, some people might be like, well, that's just not, that's not right. That's not fair. That's, you know, that's not really helping people. But I feel like when you invest any money in something, you take better care of it.
Absolutely.
And so when something has been given to you and it's not, and it's been, you know, polished and made all great and pretty, and you're, and you don't have to pay for it, then you're not going to take care of it. Is that kind of what you're seeing too? Like maybe
we do see that, and you'd be surprised, you know, there's sometimes a negative connotation that goes with Section 8 housing or tenants that have Section 8 vouchers. And in some regards, that negative thought process is absolutely true. What we've come to found out is that it's all in the management of the asset. And as you said, if a tenant has to pay a little bit more, everybody wants a nice place to live. Mm-hmm. Nobody wakes up in the morning and signs up and says, oh, I can't wait to move to the ghetto and live in this dump with leaky roofs and rats and roaches. Nobody wakes up to do that every day. So when you can go into that kind of neighborhood and buy 300 apartments, it's the biggest thing in a 5-square block area. And you've got over 1,000 people living there. And now it is the nicest thing in that submarket. Guess what you get? You get the best of the people that want to live in that neighborhood, because people want to live everywhere. Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean they want to live in the dump just because it happens to be in this neighborhood. So we've taken that approach of going in and making these the best things in any submarket that we purchase. And now you don't just have to live here, and you get to live here. So that means you're going to follow the rules. You're going to pay your rent on time. You're not going to have all of the things that go with the connotations that people have about Section 8. We're not going to allow it. And so then it just turns the whole community around, and you'd be surprised that it's only about 10% of the people that cause 90% of the problems. So when you raise a standard in any environment, you know, we like to elevate our thinking so we can elevate our life, right?
Great.
That's our church mantra. Yeah. But when you do that in any environment, when you raise the bar, you will always have people step up because the bottom is not an option. So even in their living arrangements, when we do unit inspections in the apartments, there are certain things that just can't be allowed because this is the standard that's been set here. And so sometimes it's not about the adult that has made the decision to live in that environment or to live that way. It's more about the child that gets to grow up in that community that will possibly one day get out and break that cycle of poverty or whatever it is that has held that family captive for so long. That's really why we do it. It's for the kids.
Yeah.
Of course, we want the parents to be the beneficiaries of that. But if we can look beyond today and look into the future of the kids that are growing up in these environments, it'll change the world.
Oh, absolutely. You're giving people hope.
Yes.
Like your middle name.
That's what it is.
I know. Yeah. I mean, like you were born for this. So let's go back. So that's awesome. Thank you for explaining that. That was beautifully done. I mean, I need to learn. I need to take some tips from you on how to talk about what I do. You know, that was awesome that you did. I mean, you said perfectly done. But how did your mindset get to a place where you could go from being in those situations where you have nothing and building something like you've built? Like, where did the switch happen?
I think I've always been an entrepreneur. So I got out of high school and I didn't go to college. I went into the workforce and I learned how to paint houses. So 2 years into that, I was 19 years old and the guy I worked for went out of business. So I started knocking on doors to paint your house for $200. If you buy the paint, I'll paint your house. And I was super good at it. So the job that I had, we learned how to paint million-dollar houses in the 80s in Beaumont. So that's equivalent to a $5 million house today in Frisco, Texas, right?
Wow.
So I learned that, and I learned how I had an insatiable desire to eat. That I just was hungry, and I had to eat. So I started knocking on doors. So the entrepreneurial spirit and drive was there. And I met a guy when I knocked on one of the doors that gave me my first big job. I was about 20 years old. And that job from painting his house for $200 turned into doing a multi-million dollar hotel renovation in Beaumont, Texas in 88. So I had made my first $1 million by the time I was 21 years old. So I thought money was never the issue. It's just what I do with it. So money will always come and always be there. So the drive and the ability to get out of that has kind of always been there, even though life circumstances push it down. So I'll go a little bit further in that story after
Hold on. Let me say something about this, though. You took a huge risk. And I think that's what people forget, is that you took the risk of knocking on doors. You laid it all out there, and entrepreneurship sounds awesome, but what it is, it's just taking risks and believing in yourself enough to just go all in. And that's what you did. And then because of that risk, you had an alignment that led you to an assignment that helped you get to that next level. I just didn't want people to miss that because that was so good.
Well, you do such a great job of making it sound glorious. I just wanted to eat. So, okay, it sounded really good the way you said that. But I'll tell you then, so there was the upside. And then 2 years later, the market changed and we couldn't get any more jobs after that hotel was over with. And here I am, my son's 3 years old. Mm. And we were literally going to be put out of our house that day. And our lights were getting cut off that day. And we went to the cabinet that morning of his breakfast and opened it to get our last bowl of oatmeal that we had for breakfast. And it's like, well, we didn't have much to move, so let's eat this last bowl of oatmeal and we'll call it good. But that particular day, I didn't have money to buy him a Hot Wheel car for his birthday, something that small. Mm-hmm. And I felt like such a loser. Mm-hmm. I felt like a man that had been just whipped and broken. I thought that my family would be better off without me. I had life insurance that I thought would have paid them. So I tried to kill myself that day. And you wake up a few days later and go, man, you couldn't even do that right. You really are a loser. So then that spirit of suicide that is directly from the devil, I believe that.
I do too.
Haunts people, and it threw me over that cliff. And I had family members that loved me back to health. And I'm in part here today because of those family members that said, no, it's not your time.
Yeah.
But I remember when I took those nitroglycerin pills and a bottle of them and said, God, man, if you got a purpose for me, then maybe you'll have mercy on me and I'll wake up and I'll go fulfill that. And if you don't, please have mercy on my soul. And I remember that vividly. Mm. And then when I woke up, of course, I didn't remember the bright side of the waking up. I remembered, man, you couldn't even do that right. So it was a really, really been an emotional, mental journey. And I think so many of us play those wrong voices over and over and over again in our heads that keep us bound to hopelessness, that there's never an opportunity to change your life around. And the gift or the curse. I call it a gift that God gave me was the ability to see things that are not as though they were. And with that kind of viewpoint, we can go in and, you know, we can buy these raggedy apartments and spend, oh, well, all we gotta do is put, you know, some millions here and make it work. So we have the ability to do that. Okay, Alvin, you're broke today, but that's not what God said about you, and that's not what you desire, and that's not the life that you signed up for, so you're going to change it. So it's really just those thoughts that just keep us going, and little decisions every day mount up to that change that we want to see, and that eventually comes about.
Well, the enemy wanted to take you out because he didn't want you to be able to help people and impact the world like you're doing, because that's what you're literally doing. You know, God called us to love one another, you know, and have a relationship with one another. And that's the only thing he's asked us to do. Like, love him and love right. and love each other, right? That's the two things. So the enemy, the devil, whatever you want to call it, wanted to take you out because you have been able to love and change and impact people in a way that, and give people hope.
Yeah.
And so you had to be at that, you didn't have to, but the devil tried at your lowest of lows to take out that hope. And God, you surrendered it to God. Remember that you surrendered it first to God, and he was like, all right, he's going to do this. Huh? You know, I got it. All right. So he's sending like angels. This is how my brain works. I'm like always like thinking like, okay, God, how does that really work? You know? So I see like in the real world, you know, in the angelic world or whatever they call it, the spirit realm, that's what it is. You know, he's like, y'all need to go down there and fix
help
it.
Her out.
He just called out for me, and then he did something stupid, and I need him to finish the purpose I have for his life. And right. But you said it before you even did the deed to try and end your life. You know, you called out to God, and he was there for you at your lowest of lows. You know,
right?
Which is insane. God's so amazing.
You know, one of the things that during these podcasts that I know you want to get across, and one of the things that I, you know, it's a revelation that I've had over and over and over again in looking at the men that God has allowed me to want to follow, right? So our pastor, Keith Kraft, we were talking about this a minute ago, how his life, we all see the fruit today. We don't know what he personally goes through because everybody on this planet goes through something, right? But he made decisions at 15 years old to live a certain way and to live a certain lifestyle. And he's built his whole life around that. And now we're seeing the fruit of that after 45 years of making that kind of decision. Whereas so many, and I'll use men, but people too, that have not made that kind of choice at an early age, right?
Yeah.
So many of us, me, have not made that decision until later in life to either surrender my life to Christ or to run a business in this particular way or to make my, to find my purpose and my mission and to make it about other people whatever decision you made. Yes, your core values today. You know, what happens to the guy that just made that decision 5 minutes ago or 6 months ago? It's never too late. You know, I look at a lot of these millennials, man, some of these guys are crushing it and making so much money. Out in this real estate realm, I see 20-year-olds making $250,000 a month. And, you know, everybody thinks, oh, just like that, and it happens. Well, and for some people, it does. But for some people, the process to that kind of wealth is not overnight. Sometimes it takes years and years and years of consistency. Not, oh, I've been doing this 3 months and I'm going to do something different, right? It just doesn't usually work like that. It's rare.
Yeah.
Right? So just the hope side of this is just to whoever's listening that needs to hear this, it's never too late to make the right decision. Just don't quit. How did I get from there to here? I didn't quit. I had a big why, and my big why was I needed to eat and take care of my family. And then after we get beyond the hand and the mouth of just needing to eat, then comes the opportunity to say, well, it's more than just about me. Who else can I give this information to or share this with to where I get an opportunity to potentially change the trajectory of their life? So now we've got 52 employees that would not have this job if we were not in business. And we've got over 1,000 families, 1,300 families that live in our apartments get to live there because we're doing this work. And, you know, and we're spreading, and now we're getting to partner with other people that have money that say, hey, I've got money and it's just sitting on the sideline and I don't know what to do with it. And I want to put it in a good place. And so we get to give those investors a vehicle to invest in, not just to make money, but investing in people and to invest in communities that truly, truly make a difference. So my life has really come full circle where I get to do this, and it's such an honor, and I'm super excited that God chose me.
Right? Yeah, I'm excited too. I'm your friend. I get to benefit from it all just by like hanging with you. I love your energy. I mean, they're investing in you, but they're really investing in relationships, right?
That's correct. That's what
that's
it's all
everything
about.
That you're built on. And that's why this works. Yeah. You know, it's not about money. It can never be about money. I always tell people, because I'm in the health industry, right? The wellness industry, you know, I want to lose weight. It's not about your why can't be losing weight. It's the same concept. It's exactly the same. Your why has to be bigger than that. Because if your why was lose weight, everybody would be walking around at the perfect weight that they want to be, right?
Right.
It has to be about, your why has to be a bigger thing. Like, why do you want to lose? Well, because I don't want to hurt anymore. Or, you know, it has to be something other than that, because food, you always talk about, I like to eat. You know, food is one of the hardest things for us to manage. That's just how we're built.
It's so easy right here. Yeah.
It's easy to teach someone to do a push-up. It's easy to teach someone how to move their body or go for a walk. It's easy. That's the part easy. It's teaching people how to make food work in the season that they're in and in the place that they're in when it comes to health too, right?
Right.
So it's like you said, it's decisions and not stopping every day. Like every day you have to make the decision to do one thing that's going to benefit you. If you're not in good shape, you're not in good health, if you're not able to do these things with these families and help and move forward in your career, you can't help people.
That's right.
And that's right. We're all gifted. I mean, you and I are both under the same pastor, so we both believe the same things. And that whole, like, the what hit the fingerprint book that pastor has, I have it next to my Bible because it's so true. We all have a unique fingerprint to leave an imprint that nobody else can leave. I mean, like that, and we're cutting ourselves short if we don't take the chance and just, like, that's what I love about you is that you're fearless and you just go for it. And then if it doesn't work, you've gotten out of the mindset of not beating yourself up about it. You're just like, oh, well, that didn't work. Let's move on to the next thing.
Well, let's that word fearless, that's the outer perception of that, right? Because I have these limiting, self-deprecating thoughts that, again, it's the voices that we choose to listen to. Are we going to listen to the positive relationships in our life that are encouraging us to do something different? Or are we going to listen to these voices that play in our head that tell us we're less than and we're not good enough to do this, and who do I think I am to be able to do this, right? So it's I believe that those voices have a significant part in who we become. Just who do we want to listen to? You know, Pastor says everything's hard. We just choose our hard. You know, it's hard to do a push-up, or it's hard to be fat after eating donuts all day. Well, you choose your hard, and so I think that's part of this.
Yeah, it's so good. I just love that. So, okay, let's go I just a little bit. You had a health concern, or you had a health. Tell us a little bit about that, because maybe somebody listening can really relate and then be able to figure out how they can, you know, get through a time like that. So,
well, I was having some bouts of really low energy. I was sweating all the time, and I didn't notice it on me. I noticed it on one of my friends that was sweating all the time. I'm like, man, what's wrong with you? He said, oh, I just sweat all the time. But I did go to the doctor, and he gave me this and checked my blood. So I went to the same doctor. And when I walked in and the doctor took my blood and everything was great, and I came back the next week and he said, well, I got some good news and I've got some better news. The good news is your blood is okay and it's red and you've got some levels that appear to be high. Well, he said some things about my body that told me that I either have this really bad thing going on or else this medicine he was going to give me was correct. And I said, well, it's not the worst, so I'm good. Let's move forward. He said, okay, we're going to treat you for 4 weeks, and then you'll come back, and we'll take your blood again. Well, after the four-week treatment, I felt great, and then I went back to the doctor and said, oh, well, man, your prolactin is really, really high, so I need to get you in because you probably have a brain tumor or something like that going on. And I'm like, Okay, well, no big deal. I don't, you know, if it's got a name, we'll figure it out and we'll work on it. But I didn't want to believe that I had a tumor because, you know, I'm Alvin. I can't have a tumor in my brain. And so they did the MRI and it came back where I had a golf ball sized tumor on the bottom of my brain. And he sent me to a doctor. And the whole time I'm going through this, I'm thinking, okay, well, it's no big deal. It's just, you know, we're going to go get this tumor taken out. Hopefully I don't have a scar, you know, across the top of my head forever, but you know, I'm still kind of vain. But, you know, I really didn't give it much thought. And then I won't say coincidentally, but the doctor that he referred me to was a doctor here in Dallas that actually invented the surgery that I had. He had been doing this for 30 years. He was the best in the country at it. And he doesn't take new patients. And I just happened to get in to see this guy. And
he That's a happened. God thing. It didn't yeah. just happen.
I know that. But I just happened to get this guy as a doctor. And the realization hit me when he said, Alvin, this is, you know, this is a cakewalk. I do this 4 or 5 times a day. I'm not expecting, you know, anything to go wrong with this. But I will advise you to go home and get all of your affairs in order. Mm. And that's when it hit me that. Mm. Wow, I might not make it back from this. But you know, Jennifer, I had such a wonderful piece about that decision and having to go home and do that because I knew that if I died on that table, that I had done everything in my power and that God was obviously done with me and that my family had enough in them to get past me being here, mm-hmm. you know, to agree of that my son had everything he needed to fulfill what God had for him to do that I could deposit into him. And the company here had enough people around to take this mission and keep it going. So I felt really, really peaceful about that. And I never worried about not waking up. I just like, if I do, great. And if I don't, man, it's been wonderful. And I get to go home and be with Jesus. So I really had that thought process. And I walked in the hospital on one day and I literally walked out 2.5 days later. I had probably lost about 10 pounds, so the surgery was great for me. And I have had no complications, nothing. It was almost like a cloud was lifted off of my vision. You know, everything appeared to be more clearer after that. And it's just been, it's been a great process. I even forget that I've had that so many times.
How many years ago was that?
It's been, I think November just passed was 2 years.
Okay. So you know what that tells me? You went through a major ordeal before you went to that next level, right? Your story earlier. Mm-hmm. And 2 years ago, you went through a major ordeal, almost lost your life. Like, that's like pretty low. Like, I mean, you know, another low. Right. And I feel like, and you were able to, you know, get strength from it. You grew from it. And it just tells me that there's something really big that you're doing, that God is doing right now. Right. And, I mean, you're living it
big,
because anytime you get hit like that, you are a threat. And that's what reminds me, like whenever I'm in a low point, and I've been at a few of them lately with this whole startup I'm trying, I'm like, that's the devil. I'm a threat. I'm a threat because I'm going to do some stuff that he don't want me to do. He does not want me to impact the world the way I'm going to. Right. So he tried to do it again. You know, he's the same yesterday. He did the same thing back in the garden, even that he's doing now. Like, he just lies to us. And he, you know, that's all he's got. That's his game. Right?
Right.
And we buy into it a lot of times. And so that's why it's important to have people speaking into your life. Like I did with you and with Pastor and the people that we surround ourselves with. And to me, God's word every morning, because it's just, if we get out of that, then those low times could take us out. Right.
Yeah.
But just know, if you're at that point right now, if you're listening to this, you're just like, I'm at the lows of lows. And I think this is something that I just, it'd be easier just to leave. Know that that means that there's a huge impact. You're going to have positive impact on the world if you're in that place. And the devil wants to take you out so that you can't do it. So 2 years ago, he tried again.
Yeah.
And after that, was like, did you see an increase in your business? I know last year you had some major, major cool stuff happen for you.
We have. And a lot of that this year, of course, you know, this is our 2020 year double-double. And
yeah.
And a lot of the stuff that happened last year. Well, I think in 20, so that was the November of 2017. So in 2018, I had an opportunity to restructure our business as a whole. And I had an opportunity to quit working in the business and start working on the business. We made some really great hires that allowed me to push myself up a little bit more so I could, you know, be more of a CEO. So that has really helped. Last year, we've closed on a couple of major developments that we're about to start working on, like the 1st of March of this year. So that is super, super cool how God literally orchestrated me becoming a land developer and a home builder, where we're going to go build 360 homes in Greenville, Texas, and the way that all came about. And so we're closing on our construction loan on Friday of this month to start building the roads and the infrastructure for that. So that's always been a bucket list thing that I've always wanted to do, and I didn't know it would be on this magnitude. So that's happening, and
I'm not surprised at all, because I've seen the stories. I mean, I creep on you on Instagram, so I see the, you know, the ups and the downs and the highs and the lows. And but you know what you're going to need is, you're going to need a really great wellness company to come in there and keep your employees healthy, especially construction workers. And so I know someone. Her name is Jennifer Martinez, you know, JMR Solutions. Yeah, we have the wellness solutions that you need to keep your team hydrated and healthy and focused and strong and good. You know, here's the thing with
how cool is that?
I know. We're going to have some meetings, I guess. You know, that's a God thing. That's a thank you, Lord. Boop. But here's, when you take care of people, God takes care of you. And it's the hardest thing to do. If it was easy, everybody would do it. It is hard dealing with people. They disappoint us. I tell my kids all the time, I'm like, God will never disappoint you, but I will. I love you and will do anything for you, but I'm not perfect. I'm going to mess up and I'm going to disappoint you, but God never will. Your coaches are going to disappoint you, but God never will. You know, like if you have that as that foundation and know that people are going to disappoint you, they're going to steal from you, they're going to cheat, but don't change who you are in that, right? Because that's the hardest thing. It's not changing who you are in those hurt moments. You know, I struggle with it a lot because people constantly want from me, and I feel like that's all they want is they just want me to help them, and then they're bye, you know. And it's like, then so it can catch you, it can put you in a place where you're just like, I don't even want to meet anybody new, because they're all they're gonna do is take from me, and they're not gonna, but that's what the devil wants. He wants me to withdraw, right? He wants me to do that so that I can't be effective. And so I'm like, nope, I'm gonna have a podcast. Nope, I'm gonna have an Instagram account. Nope, I'm gonna have a Facebook, you know, whatever, you know. Nope, I'm gonna surround myself with great people like Alvin, and it's gonna work out. But it's not easy.
It's not easy.
You have to work with people that in your own organization now that I'm sure you're just like, Lord, help me deal with this. So, you know, if you can prioritize relationships and loving people, you're always going to be successful in anything you do. And that's what your core foundation is. I know it because I'm your friend, so I can, you know, say that about you. So I'm excited.
Well, I'll tell you, it's another mantra of our church, you know, it's right people, right place, right time. It's all about our alignments before the assignments.
Amen.
Sometimes we go after the thing, the shiny object that we think is what we're supposed to be doing, and it never works out because the right alignments are not there. And if we get with the right people in the right place, then those things, those shiny objects, they come, mm-hmm. because it's not about the shiny object.
You don't always have to know it all either. You can get, I listen to Ed Milet, his podcast a lot of times, and he always talks about how the most successful people, because he's an extremely successful person. Do you know who he is?
I don't know his name, no.
Okay, he's like an entrepreneur guy that's worth millions, okay? And he always talks about is the people that are successful mm-hmm. are the people that just say yes and go for it, even though they're not ready, you know? Because you're never going to be ready, you know? Right. And it's just being able to go, you know what? I know I can help in this area. I may not be ready, but I'll figure it out. I'll figure it out on the way, you know, and that means failing, and we're afraid to fail. And that's that fear thing, you know? So, you know, I see in you that you're not like that. You're like, you know what? I don't really have it all figured out, but I know I have a mission and I know I have God by my side. So I, you know, even when I fail, I'm going to learn from it and I'm going to make it better, yeah. You know, and you, that's been, you know, for you. And I just want people to hear that because they see Alvin Hope Johnson, they see all that he's accomplished. They see, you know, the CEO of this great company and he's helping all these people, but they don't see the fight, right?
The daily fight.
The daily fight. And you can relate to the daily fight. You can't relate to the CEO, Alvin Hope Johnson, you know, taking on, you know, everything. So.
Well, I'll tell you and I try to keep it real on my social media accounts simply because everybody sees the wins. Everybody sees the guy that's crushing it with the airplanes and the, you know, and all of that. Everybody sees that. But nobody sees the guy at home when he's praying and in the closet or on his knees or on his face crying and bawling because it was just a hard day today. Mm-hmm. Nobody sees that. Nobody wants to talk about that. But I think that's where the real man is made, when you have the ability to do that and then get back up.
Ooh, that gave me chills. Yeah. It's true. That's where the real man's made. I totally agree with that in that time. So, well, okay. We've been talking about so much. I'm so excited. I can't wait to share this. Like, get this out for people to hear. I want to finish on, I think we covered everything that we wanted to cover. You know, I know you just got back from that 10X conference. And so maybe if you could leave us with some stuff that you personally took away from it. It's Cardone.
Yeah, Grant Cardone.
Sorry. Yeah. I know everybody knows who that is. Him, he's like an Ed Milet. Him and Ed Milet are like similar. And
one of the biggest things that that I've taken away is, you know, his thing is 10X. How do you 10X your life? That's 10 times more business, relationships, whatever it is, whatever you deem is necessary for your life to be better. And one of the things that really resonated with me, professionally speaking, is tracking my progress. So I sat there and I watched him, Grant, put up a chart of where his income was in 2000 to 2020. And it seemed so simple, but I've never done that. How can you track, or how can you project, or how can you measure something that you're not tracking?
Yeah.
And so that's one of my major takeaways, just a little one. And then I've gotten another one about opportunities. So I've had a problem, and I don't want to use that word. I have been challenged every year in writing my goals because I associated my goals with, well, I got to buy so much stuff, which means it depends on so many people selling to me. And I've got to go raise so much money. So I had a problem with that. And I think I've overcome that problem of figuring out that goal piece by listing them as opportunities. So what opportunities do I want to see or accomplish this year? Or can I take advantage of this year, next year, 5 years, 10 years? What opportunities and how do I put a value on those opportunities by adding, let's put a dollar amount on those opportunities, because that's a driver. That's a motivator.
Literally write it down.
Literally write it down.
The number too.
That's right. The opportunities, and write down that number. And we're not thinking about, well, how can I accomplish those? We're not going to get stuck in the how to. It's just, what opportunities do I want? And then put a number on them. And then I need to assign those opportunities to somebody that I'm going to either hold accountable. If I have a team of people around me to do that, I'm going to assign those opportunities and be able to measure that. And if I don't have anybody around me and I have to do it all myself, then I'm going to write it down and put some dates on it and be able to track my own progress towards making those opportunities happen based on the how.
That's good.
And not getting bogged down into, well, how am I going to get this? No, it's what needs to be done to make that happen. So
day by day. Gotcha.
So for me, those were some of the simpler takeaways. There was a lot, and I still hadn't processed it all, but I've literally started my tracking chart of my income back from the day I took over this foundation, which was January 1st, 2011. So my first year of income was a negative $177,000.
Negative. Then, true, man.
So how do you start out losing money? Well, that's what my tax return said.
Yeah.
Then the next year we made $17,000. And then the next year we did X up through this year. And then knowing what our goals are for 2020 and through 2027, then I can start tracking my goals, my opportunities along from where I've come. And then we'll see that curve go up probably this year towards that, and it's going to be fun to watch that.
Yeah, it is. I tell you what, you need to be following Alvin on social media. He does his stories are great, but he also posts just him talking, 1 minute little blurbs about something. And it's always a good takeaway. There's always something good in it. And if you need some inspiration, if you just need someone to be able to speak into your life, that because maybe you don't have anyone that thinks bigger and you're a big thinker, you need to be following Alvin. So tell us, how do we do that?
Thank you, Jennifer. It's IG Alvin Hope Johnson, Facebook Alvin Hope Johnson, Twitter Alvin918. Alvin Hope 918, but really I focus on my IG account, so it's Alvin at Alvin Hope Johnson on Instagram.
Yeah, that's where I creep on yet. I don't even have a Twitter. Twitter's, I don't even understand Twitter. I don't even want to get involved in any. I mean, I'm like, enough. We're good.
Right. Oh, TikTok, Alvin Hope Johnson on TikTok too.
I just started TikTok and
I did yesterday.
I'm having so much fun. That one's more for entertainment for me because of the things you can do with it. And we have this new dog that showed up at our house. And so I use that a lot. Just play around. But TikTok's really an interesting, that's a whole nother level that people are, if they're going to miss out, if they don't switch over, I think they think it's for little kids, and I don't think so.
Yeah, I'm curious to see how that impacts this new social environment, right? Yeah,
because everything is that, unfortunately.
Yeah, the way business has changed with this social media platform is just amazing. So It's just creating more opportunities, and how do we want to maximize those opportunities? This is one way.
Yeah.
So thank you for allowing me to share your success.
Yeah, that's why I started this podcast, because you can only get a little bit from social media, and you don't want to put all the bad stuff on social media, right. And you don't want to put only just good stuff, but you're only getting minutes here and there. And it might help some people here and there. That's why I say, follow you and stuff, but it's getting them to come to this platform where they can really get some meats and potatoes. That's going to affect their life and help them move forward in a good way. What I think is important about this, because people always, it's free. What's the point? You're spending all this time and energy on something that you're not even going to make any money. And I'm like, it's about relationships. It's about helping people, it's going to benefit someone. It's never a bad thing.
Right.
Like if you've been given the opportunity and to do it, you got to do it. You just got to.
The returns come back. It always, you can't outgive God. It always comes back.
Amen, brother. I'm telling you, a hundredfold. It's how I lived my whole life. You put the priorities, you live by your core values, right? And you do what God puts on your heart to do, and you give and you're generous, and it comes back. So prosperity is so overlooked as money wise but favor of God, there's nothing like that.
Can't buy it.
You can't buy it, can you?
No, you can't.
All right. Well, I appreciate you coming on. I love that you were able to share your story with me. And, I'm encouraged by you, and I appreciate you. And I'm looking forward to working with you.
Well, Jennifer, thank you so much. And I'm looking forward to working with you too, because our guys are going to need your services, because it's going to be hot in a couple of months. So
hot in Texas.
And we'll have some great testimonials for JMAR Solutions coming out of this. So.
Amen.
Yeah, it's gonna be great.
I tell you what, listen, it's about helping people, because you know what, when they leave your work site, they're going to go home and be better dads and husbands. And that's what I want.
That's right.
Or wives, you got to be careful these days with pronouns. I don't want to get in trouble. I don't want to offend anybody. That's too late. Right. I offend people all the time. I'm like, oh, I'm sorry for my ignorance, but, you're right. They're more productive at work, maybe, on our programs and stuff like that. But where does the real magic happen? In the home.
Right.
You know that. And so if you can leave a work site and not be drained to where you can go to your son's baseball game, or you can go, be helpful in the home with your wife or husband and love on them and have the energy, because it takes energy to love people. It takes energy. And if you don't have that energy because you're so drained and you got to do it over again the next day, or you just got back from the emergency room because you had to get another IV because you're dehydrated. If I can help someone have a better home life, that affects, it's just the same. It's the same mission you have. Right. You're helping those kids live in a different area and a different environment and think bigger than they would have if they were living in the slums, right? Right. You've made quality of life better, and that's why God is blessing your business. It's the same concept with what I'm doing. So I appreciate you saying that. So thank you for helping me be better and think better. All right.
Thank you.
Yes, absolutely. Well, guys, that's all we got for now. You can check me out at JMR Solutions. You already know who I am. You wouldn't be listening to this, right? And you can check out my website now too, jmrsolutions.net. I actually have a website. I'm that cool. Hey. Yay, moving up in the world. All right, y'all. Bye for now.
Bye. Dreamer.
Oh, yeah.